Today's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who's been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen in the east until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Today is a great day to be in worship at church because you know now, this week, you can tell all your friends and your parents and your grandparents that so far this year, you have not missed a single Sunday in church. You have 100% attendance record. Congratulations. Good job. And you know, I mean, you can actually keep that up. It is possible to do if you would like to just come back. So that's, you know, just an idea. My name is Taylor First. My pronouns are she and her. I get to serve as the senior pastor here at First United Methodist Church of Austin. I really am glad that you're here today as we kick off a new year, start a fresh page with a time of worship, of recentering by turning our hearts in God's direction and to see and connect with God within us and around us and to kind of tap into that fuel source of grace that we need for certainly for each day, for each week, definitely for a new year. And so I'm glad that you're here. Today is Epiphany Sunday. It is the Sunday closest to the feast day of Epiphany, which is on January 6th, so still a couple of days away after the 12 days of Christmas have ended. So technically, we are still in the season of Christmastide. Today, I think, would be 11 pipers piping. I think that's about right. We could sing it, but maybe later. So tomorrow is the last day of Christmas. And then Epiphany kind of launches us into this new season in the church year, and that will be true here at First Church as we start a new season, a new series next week called Love Looks Like. You heard Pastor John in the announcements talking about the United Methodist social principles and a couple of different opportunities to study those, And that's what we're going to be doing, kind of as a whole church. These are the newly rewritten official statements of the United Methodist Church on the major social issues of our day. So if you have wondered what the church has to say about everything, I mean, from corporate responsibility to protecting space to euthanasia to the death penalty, we are going to be exploring these things in worship through connection with Scripture and then in these opportunities to study as well. So I hope that you'll plan now to join us and to engage with the church around those social principles. But first today, we begin with the star and with the Magi and with a journey of trust. Imagine with me, if you would, imagine if it had played out a little bit differently. Imagine one of the Magi, we'll call him Balthazar, because that is one of the traditional names of the Magi. Imagine Balthazar walked out early one morning, really kind of the middle of the night, and he was going out for his regular viewing of the stars, his regular study of the night sky and of the movement of the planets, and he saw this one new star. And he looked back at his map, the map that he had been working on and drawing for all these many years as he had studied the skies, and there was nothing there on that map in that spot. But when he looked up again, sure enough, there it was, burning so bright. And he rubbed his eyes and he looked again, and yeah, it was there. So he took off down the street to his friend Melchior's house, his star friend who was every bit as captivated and probably even more knowledgeable about these celestial bodies. And he went to Melchior's window, and he wasn't awake yet, so he whispered, Mel, wake up. You got to see this. And Melchior came stumbling out into the night, slightly annoyed, but still interested. And Balthazar pointed up and he lofted something between a question and an exclamation. Can it be a new star? And Mel also rubbed his eyes and he looked again. And he said, No, I think it's AI. Yeah, it's just AI. Yeah, it's not real. Just go back to bed. Thank goodness it didn't happen that way. I find that that's a regular experience with my teenage children. How many times do I show them a picture or a video or something that I think is so great? And they say, Mom, that's just AI. That's not real. The truth is that we live in a time when perhaps it is maybe harder than ever to know what is real and what is slop, what is true and what is not, who is being honest and who is just trying to manipulate you, playing on your worst impulses. In a world like ours, trust is really hard to come by. The Magi, these wise people, they weren't kings, even though the song tells us that they were. See, who can you trust, really? They had an experience, a critical moment. They saw something. They sensed something was calling them out from their studies to come and see, to follow. These were students of the skies, scholars of their own right, and they were drawn to the very edge of their vast knowledge, to that line between what you know and what you know you don't know. And then they were asked to go a step further. And they took it. They took the step. They went on a journey of trust. Not, I would argue, not a journey of destiny, not a sort of trust that this is the one thing that I am meant to do with my life, or this is what they'll write a song about me for someday. Not like that. That's sort of movie stuff. But a trust, a journey of trust that this journey beyond me is for me. It is a journey on which I am an invited guest, where I will be cared for and protected and provided for, where I will walk in the heartfelt belief that if I keep going, more will be revealed. I will discover what I didn't know my soul was looking for. As they walked, I have no doubt that they continued to use their incredible gifts drawing on their immense knowledge, their training along those steps. That's the way that God works, you see, in a rhythm of using our gifts, moving through the places that where we walk with confident steps, and then taking us beyond our gifts and all that we know to the places where we aren't so sure anymore, because that's where the trust grows. There's room in there to trust ourselves, to trust what we've already been given on this journey, but then God invites us to keep going. Perhaps the star led them to Jerusalem, I don't know. Or perhaps they got a little bit lost, and that's how they got to Jerusalem. Their confidence maybe waned, and they weren't so sure of themselves or of the star anymore, and so they thought, well, that's okay, let's go to the palace. I bet we can trust the government. And the governor, Herod, well, he feigned trustworthiness. He tried pretty hard. He put on a mask of curiosity, a costume of adoration. He told the Magi that he too wanted to worship this newborn king. And it would not be the last time that a ruler or a politician pretended to love Jesus while really having his own agenda in mind. But fear, you know, is a useful tool for a governor. And so Herod stirred up fear in the hearts of all the people in Jerusalem, so that then when the time came that he needed their trust, they would be primed and ready to trust him and to support him in whatever he needed to do to eliminate the threat he told them they should be afraid of, even if it meant a massacre, which it did. Fear, you see, is how you sway a crowd. That's how you control them. Fear makes people nearsighted, unable to see past their own noses, their own needs, so that if they can even see the star out there, it's fuzzy enough to question it and to figure it's really probably safer to just stay home. The Magi, they also could have put their trust in Herod and gone the route of fear. After all, Herod was real. He was tangible. He was right there in front of them with a human voice, not just some voiceless star pulsating in the night sky so far away. But instead, they chose to listen to a voice of the past, a voice of the tradition, a voice of the prophet. They trusted that the voice of the past still had something relevant to say to them today. And so they let that word lead them to Bethlehem, where the mystery that they had been pursuing, it reached its full flourish in the presence of a child, in the presence of God. The journey of trust led them to an encounter with God. One wonders if maybe even then old Melchior might have wanted to squint his eyes and look at the toddler before him and say, I'm still not sure he's real. Some of us keep our inner skeptic very close all the time, even in worship, and that's okay. But finally, in the last movement of the story, the Magi place their trust in a dream that sends them home by another way. Because they listen to the dream and trust the dream, their journey continues. We are all perhaps on a journey of trust. And for us, we make that journey in a time when trust is really hard to come by. It's hard to drum up within ourselves. It's hard to gain it from somebody else. What does it mean to walk in faith in a time when even the things that we know we can see may not be real? Trusting God feels like following a moving target, like a star in the sky. For the Magi, trusting in God meant a number of things. In varied moments, it meant trusting themselves and their knowledge that they had been given. And then it meant trusting that their knowledge was limited and that they would have to go beyond it. At times, it meant trusting in the scripture and a tradition that was not even their own. And it also meant trusting their gut and a dream over the voice of authority. What does the journey of trust look like for you in this new year? What is the star by which God beckons you, draws you out, yes, to use your gifts, but also to go beyond them? To go beyond them to a place where you can only walk by faith. Where are the voices of tradition, of scripture that will guide you on the journey? How will you know who to trust? Friends, may we be as blessed as the Magi to make the journey together, to be guided by the Spirit along the way into and beyond encounters with God, and to find ourselves and the world changed. Amen.